The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Going on, people. Welcome to Throwdown, episode 136. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Why, hello, people. It's Thursday.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Brian Mangioma.
Damn, Nintendo done fucked up.
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, everybody?
And Adam Vale.
Lucha Underground is back! It's the 20s!
Yo, before we started, I don't think you had big news, so yeah, let people know, man.
That's right, shit is back. Go find it, bootleg it, do whatever you can to get it. I'm telling you, they got it. I mean, honestly, that's the only way you can really get it. Not many people have the El Rey Network. Some people think that's a made-up shit. It's real, you know? Look up the El Rey Network. But you can, I think they have some highlights or whatever on YouTube or... You could definitely find an episode online somewhere, but definitely.
You can go on Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Well, no, not season three. Not yet. Right now, it's just season one and two, and we'll see. But season three, which was on this weird hiatus because of the Netflix deal, wasn't sure if they're going to Netflix or Hulu or Made Up Land. Who knows? But it went Netflix, and now it's back. So, yeah, if you're looking for it anywhere, it's episode 20. There you go. Enjoy.
Yeah, so I know you're happy about that, man.
Damn, that's right, that's your joint right there. Damn right. Yep, got to support him.
So a little bit of a weirdo throwdown this week because nothing happened. It's E3, man. You know how it is, right? It's like when the flood's about to come. You know what happens before the flood comes, right? Water recedes. There's nothing. It's just emptiness right before the flood comes in. So that's what's going on right now. But, you know, we'll fill it out with some shit. But we got to get to this main topic because this is some bullshit, some weapons-grade bullshit. Okay, so Hori announced their Splatoon headset, right, for the Nintendo Switch, right? The actual headset, which you put on your head, very, very cool looking, right? The shit you got to do around it to get it to work, not cool. So I'm going to toss this one to Manny, who's been having a little bit of a field day with this one. So what do you have to do to get this all working now?
Okay, so you literally – okay, well, actually, I'm going to pull up the
– Yes, please.
Give me a couple of seconds so I can actually pull up the what we have.
Yeah, so basically, if you guys didn't know, you can't just, like, put on a headset, turn it on, and talk to people on Nintendo Switch. You have to use a phone app, which isn't available yet, and apparently use another device to plug all this shit in together and then do it, you know?
You literally have to daisy chain your phone to this device – to your Switch and then to the headset.
It's the most retarded thing you could ever look at.
So let me just pop this on the screen so y'all can see this on the live show.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it yet. So
yeah,
this is what we got.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, yeah. So explain this monstrosity to people.
Okay, please. on the top, I'm going to also explain it to you. On the top right is what is considered a phone. So then the middle. Is this thing which kind of looks like one of those Splatoon, a squids. And this looks almost like an arrow. And on there, then that connects to the Switch on the bottom. They are all connected via the headphone jacks. And then all the way to the left is the actual headphone, headset, which actually looks really cool. So what this is, so essentially you have to connect all these three different devices together in order for the headset to work, which means obviously Nintendo did not think about this because
a smarter idea
would have been you could have put a you have your stupid app that allows you to chat on your video games, right? So what you could do is you could have a Bluetooth headset and connect it to your phone, and then that somehow works with the game. You could do your chatting, but unfortunately, maybe the app doesn't allow for that. So this is Hori's solution to this issue. The biggest issue with this whole situation is the fact that, number one, the chatting system is not on the actual Switch system. It's designated to an app, which is said all the way from the beginning. According also from, you know, from what we know, there is no release date for this app that's supposed to come. And then, not to mention, we're looking at this the phone here on the top right. And you notice that there's a headphone jack in there. Now, if you own an iPhone 7, you would notice that there is no headphone jack on there. So essentially, that closes out most people who own an iPhone, or you know, at least the most recent iPhone. Yeah. Up to 6 and plus, the 6 plus, you can still run it, but you can't do it with this.
So Hori didn't say.
And then also, not to mention, okay, this is only just showing it like in the unit on its own. So does that mean that when you have this thing connected, okay, you have it docked to your television. So does that mean you have to keep your keep your phone connected to your Switch and then run the wire all the way to you sitting down on the seat? Or does this pretty much only really works in handheld mode, but it's the most retarded thing ever because you'll have all these wires everywhere.
Yeah, and the wire is apparently only 20 inches long, by the way.
So you have only a 20-inch long wire. So you have to be pretty damn close to your television if you're going to do this in dock mode. And who's to say that the headphone jacks on the actual Switch system work when it's in dock mode? I don't know this.
I don't think anybody does.
Can anybody confirm that? Like, if you have a stupidly long headphone jack, could you run it all the way to there and it would run? Would you still be able to listen to your game? You know, with your headset on.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess you have to use Discord or Skype or something.
Here's the thing. There's the sad thing about all of this is obviously, you know, for a system that has to be like, you know, it has to be easy and whatever. It's supposedly the kids' console, right?
Yeah.
Or even, you know, maybe you want to say not a gamer who's not into all that, you know, rigmarole that you might need to go through. It still needs to be a lot easier than just sticking a shitload of cables into all of this. And I think, you know, I'm obviously Hori is not to blame for this situation. No. It's really Nintendo and them not having any sort of foresight into something like this. Obviously, you know, this is supposedly the first time that they're actually doing a system that allows you to chat between players on their consoles. But at the same time, they really should have thought ahead, you know, for their Switch console. You know, obviously the thing uses Bluetooth because, you know, you've proven it yourself. Whenever you set it up, you always hear your computer kind of flicking in and on, off and on because of this, you know, because your system is sensing that there's a Bluetooth signal coming in. The two controllers are using obviously Bluetooth. So why wouldn't Nintendo give Hori the coding for even to do a chat through there? But you can't even do the chat through there because you have to do it through the phone app. So
I wonder if this doesn't make any sense. I wonder if Nintendo's holding back for maybe their own type of headset system. You know, like what was it Xbox for the 360 when it came to making it wireless? They could only do wireless. Remember, there was some weird thing if you third party could use the wireless. They didn't want to give out their frequency code for it.
Yeah, here's the thing. Nintendo is going to have their own version of this, but you're still going to have to use that mobile app regardless.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that what they're going to do is that, you know, maybe because Nintendo's not even ready with this, what they'll do is their headset will connect directly to their app. Like, in other words, it'll have some sort of codec inside of it that says, oh, hey, you're using whenever you pair a tablet pen or something like that, or, you know, any of those other devices, those additional devices that run through Bluetooth to your phone, it'll just, you know, as long as the program has that, codec in there, it can read like, oh, hey, you have this connected, so now it'll work. But the thing is that obviously Nintendo is not ready for any of that sort of stuff. So this is Hori's solution, just connecting a shitload of wires everywhere.
I'm just curious to see when this launches.
And not to mention, being that you have, if you do have an iPhone 7, you have to use that adapter that allows you to use your headphone jack. So so imagine that LED phone right there, and that's an iPhone 7, and then connect that audio cable to another wire to your phone. So you're going to have even more wiring if you have a 7.
Yeah, Adam, what were you asking?
I'm just wondering, like, how many people even know this is a thing? You know what I mean? Like, I'm so curious to know. You know, a lot of people went out, tried to find it or bought it or whatever. They have one. I wonder how many think that this is going to be how they have to, communicate with friends. You know, especially with Mario Kart and all that. How many of these people saying, man, watch, when this thing launches, we'll be able to go and talk online, do all this, and don't even realize you need the phone app, you need the phone, you need the cable, you need this, you need to pray, you need all kinds of shit to happen.
Also, let me also add that you cannot talk to anyone who is not on your friends list.
So only talk to strangers? I ain't put my kids on this shit.
You can't, in other words, like, let's say you have, on the PlayStation, where you have those little groups, right? Let's say they have, for the sake of conversation, they have a group system. Anyone who's in that setup in that group probably won't be able to, who's not on your friends list, will not be able to talk to you. So you have to I'm sure you have to connect with that person already, right? And get their code, and then add them to your list, and then you can talk to them.
So is this thing already for sale? Are they selling this?
I don't know. Well, Splatoon 2 is coming out pretty soon, so I'm assuming it's going to be around that time. I think it's July or something the game comes out.
Here's the biggest question I want to ask. With this pay service that's supposedly coming along, what the fuck are you paying for? Most of this shit is peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
The phone app is literally using your own phone service. You know, it's either using your Wi-Fi or it's using your, it's using something else. So what are you paying for?
Yeah, and it's $20 a year, apparently. And it's coming in 2018 now, by the way.
For real, $20? That's pretty cheap. That means you're not going to get much.
Yeah, it is pretty cheap. But
$20 a year?
But I mean, like, what is it that you're paying for? Like, were you just, just having them open up the peer-to-peer service? To it, you're not paying for any sort of stability or anything like that. I feel like a lot of this stuff is the fault of Nintendo trying to get this stuff out before the end of the fiscal year.
On that note, though, like most fucking PlayStation games that I play lately have been fucking peer to peer. That's been a source of contention for me. So yeah. I'm not saying it's good.
Why are we doing it this way? If we're paying for PlayStation Plus or whatever, or whatever service, shouldn't we have a direct server that we should be
dedicated service? Yes, yeah. We absolutely should. That should be across any platform.
Yeah.
Also,
I want your take on this because I haven't found a single Nintendo fan that's been able to justify this so far.
You want me to justify this?
No, I don't. I want your honest thoughts on this shit.
My first question is, like, is there a reason you can't do chat through the Switch? Like, is it like...
Because it's locked behind an app. There is no direct chatting service on there. There's an app that you need to download, and that through the app is where, on your phone, is where you actually chat.
I think he's wondering why they never included it. Yeah, why didn't they?
That's the question we all want. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like it's something that they did not. It's the operation system, at least is what I think. I think the operation system is pretty locked down on there, and I think the app doing it through an app allows them to kind of dynamically put something out, but like on its own. Instead of having to fix the OS on there, in other words, it's like a cheap and easy like switch out. You know what I mean?
So what I'm hearing is that there's no physical reason why the phone needs to be incorporated into this.
No, like, they have no pass through for voice into the Switch. It's all audio out. There's no audio in on the Switch. There's no way to do it through Bluetooth because the Joy-Cons and everything are connected through there. So they can't have chat using the bandwidth. There's no physical way for the Switch to take audio in. So they have to use the phone.
And I'm assuming that was a design oversight.
I guess.
They never really talked about it as even being an issue. You know, they were like, oh, it's going to happen. I mean, that's what I was bringing up before. I was like,
Switch is a design over, you know, oversight, man.
I just think it's kind of like when what happened with the Sega Saturn, you know, where it's like they wanted to get it out so badly. They got to get it out. And they designed it so weirdly that it ended up killing the console because it was just so difficult to take advantage of a lot of the 3D properties that console could do. Like that console, the Sega Saturn was way more powerful than the PlayStation 2, but the PlayStation 1, but the PlayStation 1 was way easier to develop for because they could easily take advantage of what was in there. And that was the Saturn was just like, okay, it was a console that was going to be an arcade console. And then they said, all right, this 3D thing seems to be doing kind of cool. All right, let's throw that in there too.
Yeah, but it's just this whole thing you have to do. It's like, again, I don't see how anybody could be like, oh, yeah, no, that's fine. I'd rather play Wired anyway. It's like, you can't excuse this. This is fucking ridiculous, man. Look at this shit. Who wants to play like this when you've been playing online games for fucking who knows how long just with a headset on your head? Now with all this nonsense, you know?
Well, hold on a second. You do realize that the chart of this is almost an exact hookup of how my Turtle Beach headset works, right? And how most modern gaming PC headsets work.
Wait, do they connect to phones?
Yeah, I don't think they connect to phones.
Okay, basically what you have is you have the headset that connects to the box per this normal thing, and then you have out of the box two wires, one that has to plug into a headphone jack and one that has to plug into a USB port. So it's fairly similar. It just plugs into two different devices instead of one. So
But that's what we have options for that. You could do wireless on PC, and you only need your PC to do both functions, right? This thing needs two devices, one to play the game and one to talk to your buddies.
By the way, whenever I play online with you guys or talk to you online, this is all I need.
I use on the PlayStation also. It's wireless.
You know why it's split in this way, right? Because one side, the top area, the top right area, that's the sound part of everything. The bottom part is the top part is all the chat portions of the thing. The bottom is all the sound from the games. Mm-hmm. That middle thing is the mixer. Essentially, it mixes both the sound that you hear in the game and your chat sound together to go into your headphone.
Yeah, no, all I was saying was yeah, it's a convoluted mess. They have to use a wired system. I don't think the wired system is any more convoluted than any other wired system. I think it's still
It's convoluted because you need a phone.
Yeah. No, I get that. I understand that you need to plug another plug into a second device instead of a third or instead of the first device in a second place. I just don't think that's that much more of a pain in the ass. It's not any extra steps. The only thing is, oh, well, you have to have a phone. Well, yeah, I have my phone on me all the time. So having to pull it out of my pocket and plug it into my phone instead of having to reach around and plug it into the back of the tower, I don't really count as being that much more of a pain in the ass. But I will say that wired headsets are a pain in the ass. And one of the things I loved about my PlayStation is I got to skip all that whole box setup and I could unplug, essentially, if you look at the graph there, I can unplug from the AeroType thing and plug my Google or my Turtle Beach headset directly into my PlayStation controller, and everything works fine. That's amazing to me. Did that happen with my PlayStation 3? Absolutely fucking not. That thing was a huge mess.
That thing was a mess. Another situation where they did not think about that sort of communication, so they had to think of all these convoluted ways in order to get it to work.
Oh, pain in the ass.
Yeah.
In fact, each company had to enact it on their own. Like, so whenever you, like me and Tony, I think we were playing, like, was it Portal 2?
Yeah.
So whenever the game would load, obviously it would turn the chat off because it was running it within the game.
Yo, Adam, man, you slurping that shit during the show?
What?
You can hear it and everything.
Well, it has ice in it.
Use yourself, motherfucker. Anyway, Manny, go on.
Yeah, so it's a bit of an oversight. It's quite a bit of an oversight by Nintendo on this situation. The fact that you cannot do all of this, all of this on one. You have to have a cell phone in order to chat on there. I mean, you might as well just, and the thing is, okay, so in this situation, now why would you need this app? Like this chatting app, when you can theoretically just get something like Discord or TeamSpeak on your phone and just do it that way.
That's a good point.
Without having to pay a fee, because in order to chat on this service, you need to pay for it. Or at least that's the way they're going to do it eventually, because now since they pushed the what I call Nintendo Plus to next year, they really needed, I feel like the Switch definitely needed a little bit more time to simmer and for them to figure out these sorts of issues. I even would have said, yo, hire somebody from fucking Microsoft or Sony who knows something about this shit. Pay them as much pay those motherfuckers as much money as you can to get them to figure out how to get this shit to work.
I just want to know how many people that bought the Switch for their kids even know that this is going to be an issue. Like
they probably don't know.
They're like, oh, what? It does online, just like the 3DS does. The 3DS did it fine with no issue. Why would they take something out like that? That makes no sense. It'll do it. It'll work.
Well, the thing is that on 3DS, you can't chat with anybody. Yeah. This is officially the first time on...
play online with them.
On the Wii U, could you chat? I don't remember. I don't know.
I don't know.
You needed those friend codes and connections.
I think with the original Splatoon, you could only really communicate by doing little drawings, as I remember, right? I don't remember there being a chat on there.
Oh, so, Kal-El is asking, what games is this for? For every game.
This would be for every single game. And so in order for you to be able to chat to anybody, you have to use the Nintendo app, a chatting app that's eventually going to be released. This was all the way from the beginning, and this is one of the things that they kind of, you know, slid under the carpet. It's like, oh, you also remember parental controls? You can't do that on the Switch either. You have to use the app.
What?
Yes, there's a... Wow. That's the two things that... All the additional options that you can do on the Switch are all relegated to the separate apps. So parental controls is an app, which they announced on, which was one of the announcements that you can do it on there. You can't do that on the Switch. Also, you can't chat on the Switch. You have to use a specific app for that. So it's just like these kind of weird piecemeal solutions.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. You know, but it's like we've had regular wireless, you know, online for years, but Nintendo, you know, is being Nintendo again.
I feel like, Nintendo, Chris has said this before, that Nintendo does not look at what else is on the market. And he even situations, I remember him saying, like, you know, when he'd come home and like talking about like this stuff, he'd be like, hey, you know, why don't we just look at the other competition and see what they're doing and see if we can improve on it? And it'll be like, no, we don't look at any of that stuff. So,
yeah, Chris, and they specifically tell you, it's like, don't worry about the other competition or even mention them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been in multiple meetings where I've talked about what was happening with Xbox Live and PSN. They tell me, oh, we don't look at that stuff. They ignore it. Just don't even bother. I'm not even talking about... capabilities. I tell them about Steam sales. I tell them about all this shit. They didn't want to hear it.
Wow. I think
it's like, so the, like nobody, if you're in the industry, you have to look at what other people are doing. I mean, that's how you stay competitive. Obviously Nintendo believes that they're only in competition with themselves. They're in the blue ocean. So, the thing about that is that when you just don't look at what's out on the market, you have no ways of improving. Or, you know, it's like, okay, what is chatting? You know, it's been done for years. How are these other guys doing that? Okay, so then how can we do this to make this a better situation? You know,
make it a doing that
situation.
Even
Apple looks at what other people are doing. That's why they're making fucking smaller iPads and shit, because they saw that fucking Samsung was making ones that were smaller too.
Well, yeah, Apple looks too closely at what their competition is doing because they get patent lawsuits all the time.
Yeah, yeah. But Brett, what were you saying? You think there's something more behind this?
There's got to be more to it. Like, there has to be a good reason for. I'm not saying a good reason. There has to be an explanation for something so monumentally stupid. And like, I got to think, like, It's got to be, yeah. There's no audio in. There's no microphone on the Switch. This is the first time I guess I've really thought about it. I was like, yeah, I guess there's not. My question is, like, I can't believe like this can be the end goal.
I can. You know why? Because multiplayer and online multiplayer to them is always an afterthought. The calendar hasn't flipped from 1991 for them. And the whole idea of you playing everyone together and everyone's in the same room, everyone's in the same place, and you all pull out the Switch or the Game Boy or whatever, and you're all that's how they think. They don't think of this stuff, and they don't think of it in the long term of the grand scheme. You see, you remember on the DS how there was Nintendo Wi-Fi connection and all these games that could connect and do all these extra things through Nintendo Wi-Fi connection, right? You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nintendo Wi-Fi. Okay.
So what happened? They killed it, right? They didn't bother to transition it. Just one day, still in the middle of the DS's life, they killed it. You know why they killed it? Because GameSpy went out of business. And they didn't want to make their own servers, so they killed it. And they left all those people hanging because they didn't want to be bothered. While other publishers like Capcom and Konami were figuring out an alternative to GameSpy or even putting up their own servers, Nintendo just said, fuck it. They just killed the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection. It's an afterthought. It's always an afterthought.
Also, the retarded way that Nintendo Wi-Fi service worked is because there's some sort of the way they designed the DSs is that they could only really they couldn't really pair with any sort of Wi-Fi some of the older Wi-Fi service. So what they had to do is they had to literally put a DS on there too. In order for it to connect, it was really stupid and convoluted because it was something that they did not think of when they were creating it. They were like, oh, you know, that's when they didn't have the web browser or any of that other silly stuff in there too.
Yeah, it's just crazy, man.
I just feel like they kind of like in the process of trying to get these things out, they're like, okay, they designed the thing, but not looking at all the different angles. Or maybe the other thing is that they just couldn't get these things out on the time that they wanted to, so they're like, okay, well, we'll just roll these things out in sections. I can believe that.
I mean, the Switch itself was like, you know, just rushed to market. If you really think about it, you know, like, okay, it feels very unfinished. You know, everything about it.
So I feel like if this thing does last longer, I would say don't even invest in this first version. Wait till like another version that they actually fix. They actually figure out what the hell they want to do with this thing.
I mean, the whole thing, I guess, wouldn't be bad if. Why does the middle part not connect wirelessly to your phone? I guess like I could live with that.
Wouldn't that also need its own power supply in order to do something like that? Because you remember,
yeah, you'd have to put a battery in the headset.
The headset would have to be powered because obviously,
wait, it's not pulling power from the Switch; it's pulling power from the cell phone. You think?
Well, it's drawing power from somewhere.
It's drawing power from something, so it could be from the Switch. It could also be from the phone.
I think it's got to be from the Switch.
Yeah, it's probably drawing power from the Switch, but. Hori, if they put batteries in the headset and made it wireless, there's two issues. One, you're going to have signal interference with the Switch because it's always putting out Bluetooth signal. And two, you have to put a battery in it, which would instantly raise the manufacturing cost and that's the price.
Oh, no. I'm not even talking about it being – although that would be great. I'm talking about if you just didn't need to plug your phone into it. Like even – okay, I get it. I'm not happy about it. I want to share this. It's not optimal. But if you told me, okay – this little box right here has a button and you use that with the app on your phone. Like you sync it once and then basically you just have to have your phone within 50 feet of you. You know, you have to have your phone in your pocket when you use this app. Okay. And the app runs in the background. Okay. So really all I have is a wire that runs from my Switch to my headset. Okay. I can deal with that. And then on top of that, yeah, if you can, you know, make it wireless and, you know, completely wireless, that'd be great. But I would accept the whole don't make me plug my phone hardwired into this. Why can my phone just not wirelessly connect with this mixer box? Like, why not put, you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe not even Bluetooth, but some sort of receiver in that arrow-shaped box that I don't have to plug my phone into it.
Put a ham radio in it. Walkie-talkies.
Yeah. Well, my phone's already giving off all kinds of fucking signals, so why can't that little arrow box pick up those signals without the additional wire? That would bring it down to one wire, which at that point, it's manageable. At that point, it's what I'm used to. Am I happy about it? No, but...
Here's the thing. There's probably definitely... This is obviously... I mean, this is Hori's solution to this sort of problem. Now, the thing is like... Because the app, you know, it'd have to run with this talking app that you need to get for it, right? So the thing is, how do you get, like, the only real way to, I'm guessing the only, at the time, the only real way to interact with that app is through a wired cable.
It shouldn't be that way. I mean, it's probably that way because of engineering.
I'm guessing that's the reason. Is that whatever this app is, it doesn't have any codecs for any sort of Bluetooth headset device, right? So that
it would have been more expensive.
That would cut at least one portion of at least one wire off of there, at least the one that goes to the phone to the mixer box. But then you have then obviously because you want to listen to whatever your gameplay is from the headset. You'd have to somehow also broadcast the sound from your Switch to that box.
No,
because you either get one or the other. So, like, okay, let's say if we're gonna play this, let's say we didn't have a headset and we just had a cell phone and the Switch app, right? So, what you would do is you'd have your stupid Switch app on. You'd have your cheap little headset thing that usually comes with there. It usually has that little box on there. Pretty much what came with the Sony PlayStation 4. That little wire that goes to your ear, and that's just one little thing that you have there. So you get, at least you have one ear that's able to listen to whatever's happening in the game.
I don't see that as necessary. You just, they put a Bluetooth receiver in that mixer, and you shouldn't have to plug your phone in at all.
The thing is that the app would have to be able to communicate with this Bluetooth mixer.
I'm pretty sure my cell phone is able to handle an app that communicates through Bluetooth.
Wait, hold on. Brett, finish your thing first, and then Manny, you go.
Oh, I said I'm pretty sure my phone supports apps that broadcast through Bluetooth because I have 9 apps on there that do that already.
Oh yeah, but the thing is that at the same time, you're also having to deal with the fact that you have to run it through whatever Nintendo app is doing the chatting service. So the chatting service in your phone has to have a codec for whatever Bluetooth headphone that you have. You understand?
Yes. I'm still not seeing why this renders
it feasible. That's the problem. That's why Hori had to come up with this solution. Because there is no, because at the time, at least when this thing is coming out, the app only really works with whatever you have here, whatever you have running, you know, like, in other words, it doesn't run with any other thing. Like, I don't know. Maybe this thing also does work with I don't know if the Nintendo app works with the headset, but then at the same time, this is them trying to combine everything. I don't know. I don't know what it's still a cumbersome deal. Like, it really should all just be on the Switch. And why are we messing with apps and all this other bullshit?
I don't really have the problem once you take the phone out of the equation. As somebody who has wireless headphones, they're bulky, they're expensive, they're heavy, they have to be charged. Yeah, it's great in theory, but it's not a perfect idea. The ultimate idea would be, yeah, just a fucking port, a 3.5 millimeter port. You could just plug in your microphone headphones to and you're off to the races, but apparently that's not going to happen. So if we're already talking about, well, there's one cord coming out of my console and it is going to a thing to my head, like, okay, I can deal with that. It's this weird extra adding the phone in where you kind of fucking lose me, which is why I say, like, if they could cut it down to, well, we've released a second version of this that, you know, Bluetooth connects the phone to that arrow box. So you really only have one wire that runs from your headphones into a box, then that box into your Switch, and then you're, you know, off to the race. It's like, okay, that pretty much seems like my Turtle Beach, which I like better than my wireless headphones. So at that point, okay, I'm good. The app is a weird touch, but, and maybe I'm just getting old. Like, it seems like I need a fucking app for everything now. So I'm not really sure if this is a Nintendo thing or if this is just an oh everything fucking now. Like to go buy milk, I have to have a fucking app. To order pizza, I have to have a fucking app. Remember the days when you could just call the fucking pizza place? No. Now you have to do it use a fucking app or go online. Like it's
obviously it's the same thing. I believe it's the same thing. It's like you have to have like 1,000 like codes for every single app or every single thing that has to go out there. It's like, well, why do we need to have all these things? It's the same thing I believe with a lot of those stupid streaming services. It's like every single channel that used to be a cable network has a streaming station. So if you decided to, you know, not get any sort of cable and just get all those stupid channels on their own, it'll probably be even more than just getting cable and having a shitload of channels that you don't watch.
Wait, I think we're getting on a tangent here.
You're getting on a tangent.
You're comparing cable service and streaming to this thing.
Yeah,
this is definitely a gaming device.
No. I'm just saying. As far as apps go, it's just like we have all these. I agree with Brett. There's so many different apps and things that you need for these, for a lot of stuff. It's just annoying and cumbersome. It's like why can't the Switch do this sort of bullshit on its own? It's because they didn't design it that way. It's all piecemeal and after the fact.
Yeah. Well, that's why the app exists or will exist at some point in time, because they didn't think about it, then they thought about it, then somebody has to develop it, and that takes time, and it ain't ready.
It seems like a whole workaround due to the fact that there's no audio in on the Switch.
Right.
And that's why I say when I'm trying to make sense of this, like, well, there doesn't have to be a good reason for this. There has to be an excuse why they're like, well, fuck, now we need to bass-ackwards this whole thing back to the beginning. Like, and the only thing I can think of is like, they're like, fuck, we forgot to put audio input into this thing. Okay, we need a device that has audio input. What is audio input? Well, everybody has a cell phone. Like, okay, can we daisy chain a thing that lets people's audio input go, you know, utilizes the phone? Yeah, we could do that. It's going to be messy. Well, we don't really have much of a fucking choice at this point because Gary forgot to put audio into the plans for the Switch. Like, that's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
I wouldn't just blame Gary.
Gary Swaby, though. We like him.
Yeah. Everyone up the chain has to approve the damn design. So they all saw that and they all approved it, right? And lo and behold, then afterwards they're like, oh, wow, we need chat. Whoops. You know, so I wouldn't just blame the designer. Everyone else had to sign off on it.
Yeah, this is bullshit. I do want to kind of switch gears, but still talk about Switch. Yeah, this is something Brett brought to my attention a couple of days ago, and somebody in the chat wanted to know what we thought about it. So it was Daniel J, I believe. He goes, did you hear about the Nintendo Switch shortage supply due to flash memory and LCD supplies, and they're competing with Apple to get that stuff? Do you have any thoughts? So, Brett, since you brought it to my attention, why don't you tell us what's going on with that?
Basically, the Switch and iPhones and I'm pretty sure certain versions of iPad are all clamoring for the same components. And these components are reaching a bottleneck in supply that we've actually seen before. We heard a lot about this when Oculus was coming out, when everybody was kind of trying to do VR, is that, you know, it's not like Silicon Valley is just overflowing with the high-tech components that are needed to make these phones. And that's why one of the reasons where certain displays or certain phones or certain memory or any of this kind of stuff will rocket your phone price up to $800 very, very fucking quickly. I just went phone shopping today. It's amazing. Every phone is $800. That being said, because they all use the same components, when there is not a very, very carefully planned supply chain, or you try and ramp up production, all of a sudden you have people vying for the same resources. And then you either get into bidding wars, which is reflected in the price of the product, or you get into long wait times. So ironically enough, it's basically we've hit an area where Nintendo has tried to increase production. And because of that, they have hit a wall in terms of supplies that they need to increase production. And the shitty thing about that is Apple definitely has the money to push anybody else out of market who's trying to utilize their who's trying to use their same supply. And it would not be weird at all for Apple just to start buying up all the surplus on the market to make sure that their supply chain doesn't break down and leave Nintendo holding the bag. So none of this is really weird. It's just that it's happening to Nintendo right now because of the increased demand for the Switch and the attempted ramping up of production. Now they're running into supply shortages. So it's not just how many factories can we put on the face of the planet to manufacture Switches and get them out to you. There's you know, entire supply lines that that they have to deal with, we have to deal with. And a lot of the supply lines either go back to China or Korea or even places in the United States where some of the components have to get made.
My bad, quickly about the supply shit, very interesting because our boy Carlos, he's been in Japan for a week. He's in Korea now, right? And he's in Tokyo. Tokyo, in case you guys don't know, it's the biggest city in Japan, right? He didn't see a single Switch out there, a single one of them. Isn't that something, you know? So I'm like, okay, if this thing's supposedly selling like hotcakes and, you know, in Japan, Tokyo, why didn't he see any of them? He's going around Tokyo again. It's like the equivalent of being in Manhattan, you know, very interesting. So I'm wondering if like the supply shortages are like worse than people like are reporting, you know?
Well, like I said, I also remind people like, and this is anecdotal, I'll completely admit that, but and me and everybody I know, like, I'm not fucking taking that shit out in public while there's such a high demand. Like, scalpers are still getting like $100 to $200 overcharged for it. Like, which means that anybody who tries to steal my Switch could probably turn that shit around and sell that bitch in a day, which makes me nervous. And I can't just go out and pick up a new one. Like, I'm not going to put my Switch out, bring my Switch out into the wild until other people bring their Switches out into the wild. And I realize that's a catch-22, but I'm not going to be the only fucker with a visible Switch ride
that's
the bus.
That's a fair point. But my thing is, it's remember this: the Switch was tailor made for the Japanese crowd. Remember, Japanese people are always mobile; they're always going around. Why aren't they having their Switches out?
Yeah, that's also weird. That's a cultural issue. Like the fact that we're worried about taking the new hot hardware outside and it might get stolen is not really an issue in Japan. They don't have that level of crime or whatever where they're worried about that. Plus these, like Tony just said, they're always on mobile devices and stuff. They have the latest iPhone, whatever. They have no problem using it in public. So they would have no problem pulling out a Switch or Vita or anything to play it. But yet, you know, Carlos reported he didn't see any, like anywhere.
Yeah, and he said he specifically was on the lookout for that. He said he saw a couple of Vitas, he saw some 3DSs, but not any Switches at all, which is very odd. You know, you figure in Japan, they'd be Tokyo of all people. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Kind of like just jumping like really quickly on this. I live in London. I've seen 6 so far since launch. Wow,
that's more than me. You know,
I've only seen more Switches than Vitas. Yeah, but it's London. Like
No. I'm saying like London is like basically. I know it's different, but you could equate it to Manhattan, where you could probably get your shit stolen too. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Hence why it's like, I still like just seen them, and it's always like the same thing. Like guys in the underground, just
have train. By the way, in case you guys don't know what the underground is,
trains.
Trains. Subways. All right, thank you for telling us that because I was like wondering, like, is this like indicative with every big city? Because I haven't seen like outside of my like journalist friends, I've never seen a Switch out in the wild. But London is equivalent to New York, you know, Manhattan. Okay, that's good to know. I guess they're rocking them out there, you know. Because you'd always see guys in the train playing PSPs and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Or DSs.
Yeah, but
kids with DSs.
There's obviously a manufacturing issue. And Chris, you know, you just said something right here into the chat. Well, why don't you just let everybody know?
Yeah, because I called this shit too. And I said this back when the financial report, and I said that they wouldn't make 10 million. And I said they're hiding a manufacturing problem. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if it was a line problem, a design flaw, but obviously it's a rare earth issue. And what I mean by that is China is the biggest producer of lithium and silicone in the world, right? That's why they get all these manufacturing bids, and they can cut costs to everyone in manufacturing than anywhere else besides maybe the Philippines or Vietnam or something. So that's why they dominate in that area. So if they are having shortages of those rare earths that are used to make circuit boards and batteries and stuff, then Brett hit it on the head. Apple has the capital to hog all of it for themselves. And so does Samsung and stuff, because they're all vying for the same materials, right? Samsung needs their notes manufactured, and Apple needs their iPhones and iPads, and they have very strict guidelines on how much supply they need. So they're going to throw money at them and get all of it, you know? So that was the piece that was missing. And this is why I say Nintendo needs to be more transparent about that shit, and you set expectations. You don't have this weird nebulous what's going on and why can't I find any, and the mysterious planes that are shipping more. If you're not manufacturing more, then I don't know how you're shipping so many, right? So that, see, this immediately counteracts their previous stuff. Oh, we're gonna double production, really? Because you see, can't seem to get enough supplies to even meet the current expectations you made before.
Yeah, exactly.
They're gonna try and double production. Doesn't mean that Apple's gonna let them do it.
No, Apple's gonna announce the new iPhone pretty soon if they didn't announce stuff already. But if they're wrapping up for the new iPhone, then they are gonna take anything they can get. Like, they have teams over there at Foxconn making sure that shit gets made right. So they're, if there is a shortage of lithium and whatever, they're going to just take that shit. This is why SSD prices are going up, by the way. And I did talk about this a while back on Twitter, that SSD prices are rising because, again, there's a shortage of the rare earths used to manufacture those as well. So the price goes up.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. So, you know, we'll see about that. I think we kind of covered this topic pretty well. Let's move on here. Some foolery, by the way, right now.
Foolery.
Yes, and this is something we called out too, by the way. Marvel, okay, so the full roster list for Marvel's Capcom Infinite was leaked, right? As we said, not a single mutant. Not a single character like Wolverine, Magneto, Rogue, characters that have been in the series since day one, not in there. I wonder why. It's because of the stupid, basically. Disney, let's be honest, Disney is salty as shit that Fox owns the movie rights, right? So this is their way of spiting them. They could easily throw the characters in there. Remember, Fox doesn't own video game rights. They don't own TV rights. They don't own any of those rights. They only own the movie rights, right? But since Disney doesn't own the movie rights, which is the biggest piece of the pie, this is how they spite them. It's fucking bullshit, you know? And obviously the fans are pretty mad about it, but you know, we told you guys this was going to happen. The funny thing is, because remember, I interviewed these guys, man. When I asked them that, they didn't say shit. They're like,
which usually when they go unusually quiet like that, that usually means that there's something they're not
gag order.
Yeah.
Yep, gag order. And they're not going to, you hit something that literally, you know.
Yeah. And I stayed that joint till the end of the interview. I'm like, I know I'm going to hit them with something. I'm going to see what happens. And here's the funny thing. If you look at the Marvel character roster, every single character in there, with the exception of Nova, is in the movies. Every last one of them. So this goes back to the whole mantra.
So
of,
this whole game this is a movie promotion.
Yeah. They're making it casual friendly. It's like, oh, you know, no one's going to know who Pace Pot Pete is, you know, but they'll know Rocket Raccoon, you know? Oh, and by the way, if you look at Rocket Raccoon, it doesn't say Rocket Raccoon. It says Rocket/Groot. My theory is it's probably Rocket Raccoon with little baby Groot on his shoulder, you know, because
or it'll be a big Groot with a rocket on his shoulder.
Yeah, even by the way, baby Groot's in the comic now, because sure, you know, yeah. It's fucking crazy, but it's bullshit, you know.
My only, as a person who has worked for Marvel, that's the only thing I don't like about a lot of the books nowadays, that they're not. They're kind of always playing off of what the movies are doing.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
Which is sad, because it's like now we're not at this point in time where now we're just getting repeats of old stuff like Civil War II, or you have repeats of old things, but they're not doing anything really new other than making these kind of new characters that nobody cares about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll read it real quick. Ant-Man, Captain America, Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, Gamora, Hawkeye, Hulk, Iron Man, Nova, Rocket/Groot, Spider-Man, Thanos, Thor, Ultron. All of them except for Nova have been in the fucking movies, and the Nova Corps already exists in there. So they're going for familiarity, you know, because I know some people complain. It's like, hey, where are the deep cuts? You ain't going to get that shit.
Well, yeah, like, what? Like, where's Darkseid? You know, where's
Darkseid? Excuse
me. Yeah, where's Blackheart?
Shuma Goroth. You know, we're not going to have Sentinel. We can't have that. You know, Silver Samurai.
What? They can't have Shuma-Gorath? Isn't he like a Doctor Strange villain?
Well, he's not. No, he'll be in there once he's in a movie.
Oh, I got you. You know, I almost thought that thing at the beginning of Guardians 2 was him.
That's what I thought too, yeah. Oh, I was about to go off on a tangent right now. I found out Kang the Conqueror is owned by Fox because he appeared as Rama Tut in the Fantastic Four first. But he's an Avengers villain.
Yes. Like,
he appeared as Kang in Avengers number 8, and he's never been a Fantastic Four villain. But apparently Fox owns the rights to Kang the Conqueror. Anyway, but yeah, going back, I'm pissed off about that. But yeah, it's bullshit. I don't know, man. I think this game may backfire to Capcom really bad.
I said this before, man. I was worried about it, and I'm still. There's nothing I'm seeing in this game that's interesting. You know what I mean? It's like it looks like they didn't even decide to go with any sort of style. They're trying to reflect all the movies.
Yeah,
it's like why not let it be what it was? People people didn't like those fucking those games because they were because they were unique and they also reflected what was going on in the comic books. You know, you play that original Marvel vs. Capcom or any one of those games, they all have little like drawbacks to you can trace them all back to like events and things that happen in the comics.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh hey, look, let's just talk about the movies. Obviously the movies are the things that make up the most money, but where all the fucking ideas come from? They're not coming from the fucking movies.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right about that. It comes from the comics and they're just forgetting about them now, you know?
You know, I feel like in the situation with DC, they're handling it a little bit better where it's like they're letting the comics be the comics.
Yeah.
And they're letting the movies be the movies. All of a sudden, you're not going to see fucking Wonder Woman just show up wearing the Wonder Woman suit from the movie.
Yeah, even though in Injustice 2, that is one of the unlockables, apparently.
But here's the thing. Obviously, you want to have that sort of unlockable. I'm sure for Batman, you can get a friggin' Michael Keaton Batman suit eventually, and a friggin' they had those in the last one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, you want to pay homage to those sorts of things. And I wouldn't have minded that from the new Marvel vs. Capcom, where it's like, okay, we start putting all these really fun characters in there, and then they could have, like, oh, you could have like Spider-Man. You can play like Homecoming version of Spider-Man in the game. That's cool.
Yeah.
But don't let the movies be beholden over every single bit of content that's out there.
Yeah, I'm with you. By the way, they haven't shown Spider-Man yet. I'm going to guess he's going to look like he does in Homecoming. I would not be surprised.
I would suspect that he's going to be Homecoming version of Spider-Man, which is, it's cool. The suit looks nice. But it's not, to be honest, I would much rather want to see the comics versions of these characters or do like what Injustice is doing, where they're just totally going in another different direction.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, by the way, in those Injustice games, based off the comics too, you know, the Injustice comics. So,
well, the thing is that the Justice comics
came first, but now they're kind of weird.
Yeah, the comics are like a spin-off of it, which is cool though, because the one thing about it, those Injustice games is that they're written by the guys who do the comic books.
Yeah.
So that's why everybody's all ranting and raving on how good the story is for those games. It's because they're actually getting the people that make these really great ideas do these things. Why did you think that the Punisher game had a good thing? Because it was written by a good person who actually wrote the Punisher comics.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to screw themselves over just like with the comics with this decision. See, when they exclude things like this because they're mad about licensing, that only hurts us as consumers and players of the game. Yep. And like Manny said, that's the root of all the creativity comes from the comics. So DC again is doing it right. I mean, hell, Swamp Thing is in Injustice too. what was this last movie from the 80s?
Yeah, basically.
Like they don't care. They just threw it in because they were fun characters and they could they add them. They have the roster. And then Disney is actively cutting the roster because they're upset that Fox has the X license for movies, right? You own the comic license. You know Wolverine's a fan favorite character. You know Magneto's a fan favorite character from the old fighting games, but you're going to cut him out because Fox has it, right? So, you know what? Look, I'm going to say this flat out. Don't buy the game. Don't buy the game a message to them. And send a message to them and you write to them. I don't give a shit. You write to Bob Iger or whatever. And you tell him, we want these characters. Get the fuck over yourself and give us these characters. Put them in DLC. I don't care. get them in the game, and I'll give you my money. That's how you send a signal to them to get the game you want. If you are pissed and you want to play with X-Men characters and they're not going to give them to you, then fuck them. They'll give them your money.
Yeah, okay. There you go, man.
The thing is that you got to remember is we as consumers are not beholden to what these people are giving to you. If you do not like it, you know, going on the internet and complaining about it doesn't help. Sometimes it does because, you know, people, you know, get offended by it or whatever. Anyway, best way to get things to change is to not buy it. Be like, listen, no, we are not going to go for this sort of thing because you are not doing the things that we want you to do.
Yeah.
That's the way it works anywhere.
Send a message to Capcom too, but don't like, look, send a sensible message to Capcom. They will talk to Disney about the license and they will get permission to use the characters, but you have to be vocal in the right way. Don't yell at people for not buying it. Don't be stupid. Go tell the fucking companies that are denying you the content that they shouldn't be denying you the content. They should give you the game and the characters you want to use. And if they don't,
without death threats.
Yes, yeah, don't thank you. Keep it civil. Like, keep it civil, right? Nice letters. Tell Capcom, hey, you need to get these characters in there. Let Capcom be the liaison. And if you want to write to Disney and Marvel, write to them. And tell them that you're not going to pay for this game because it's castrated. Simple as that.
Do we have time for side tangent? Because my question is, like, who the fuck do I get mad at for this? Like, part of me says I get mad at Disney, but then at the same time I remember Fox's abhorrent treatment of the franchise, and I'll be honest, part of me at least is like, at least Fox isn't damaging it anymore. At least it's just been taken off the market, and Fox isn't fucking it up anymore. Because I know that there's
Fox isn't fucking what up?
X-Men.
How so?
They've pretty much that. At least that's the idea of what Disney's trying to do. Is they're trying to basically kill the brand, so it's worthless, and Fox stops milking it, right?
Okay, but Fox has made two successful X-Men movies back to back. Deadpool and Logan. Yeah.
I'm aware of that. First of all, I don't give Fox credit for Deadpool. They did everything they could to ruin that movie.
No, you're right, but they still put it out, so they're not making. Yeah, they still.
By the way, still the highest grossing X movie.
Yeah. No, I agree, but I don't count Deadpool as an X-Men movie, and Logan, I'll give you that one. Aside from Logan, like, the franchise has not been treated well, in my opinion. I know a lot of people really like all of the X-Men movies. I'll be honest, like, I do not. And I cannot get into them.
Yeah, but they're looking at the wrong route. And Manny hit it on the head. They should be taking stuff from the comics and putting it in the game. Instead, they're just looking at the cinematic universe and tailoring the game to reflect those characters. And then going at the same time, oh, Fox has those movie characters, so we won't use them. That's the wrong approach.
Yeah, it's so
funny. If you're worried about the ideas, it's like, no. If you're worried about having these characters show, you know, because you're somehow representing, you need to represent the movie ones, don't represent any of the movie ones. Do unique versions of the ones that exist in the comics, or do the ones in the comics. That way you could have Cyclops in there and he's wearing his classic freaking 80s costume. Fucking Warner Brothers doesn't own that shit. I'm not Warner Brothers. I'm 20th Fox. Century Fox doesn't own that shit.
I don't know, and these are probably bold words. I don't know if Marvel is a comic company anymore. Its main assets aren't coming from comics. And one of the things that actually disturbed me, I'm not sure if anybody else noticed this, in the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie, the Marvel intro reel, doesn't flip through comic pages anymore. It doesn't reference the comics that it comes from. It's a montage of the previous movies that they've done now.
Right.
Don't like that one either.
That more than anything worried me, because it was one of those, it feels like they're abandoning where they came from. It's very clearly them kind of subduing the idea of we're a comic company and bringing the idea up that we own this cinematic franchise. They're clearly putting their eggs in the movie business, and I don't know if Disney is really honestly all that interested in keeping Marvel as a powerhouse comic company afloat. I think they're more interested in diversifying these assets into movies and video games and things like that. Like the comics are now, you know, they've gone from the main dish or the main course to a side dish in terms of how the company views this asset. And like I said, I think that was most telling when the fact that like Marvel movies, it wasn't even comics anymore. It wasn't even referencing the comics anymore. It was just Marvel, the studio that owns the rights to all these movies. And here's a montage of movies. And it's, I'm not really sure that they're worried about the comics anymore.
Well, they should be.
Yeah. They absolutely should be. But I don't think that they are. And I think that's
I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like you said that they're treating the comics like a side dish. To me, I think they're treating the comics more like a condiment. I'm just going to be not give a fuck, man. Yeah. It is bad. Like the comics sell horribly. Disney doesn't seem to give a shit. And the writers are just running rampant with this SJW nonsense. Sorry to go off on a tangent. Let's just be honest about that. And yeah, like the comics ever since, I'm going to be honest now. Pretty much ever since Disney bought out Marvel Comics have not, the quality has dipped so fucking low. I've been reading a lot of like late 90s, early 2000s Marvel comics, right? Fucking brilliant. I'm like, what happened to this company? Then you read the shit they have now. Even the good stuff is like, this doesn't compare to what these guys used to do. The comic side of it is an afterthought at best now. And it's fucking sad. I wouldn't even be surprised if Disney just says, you know what? Fuck this shit. Just kills it outright one day. Because these comics, okay, think about it like this. Spider-Man is the biggest selling comic book they have, right? At Marvel. 60,000 copies a month. That's fucking pathetic. You know, and just 2 years ago, it was selling 120,000, you know, so something's going on there. You know, the quality.
I definitely, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly everything that's going on there, but I do agree that there is Marvel doesn't have the same teeth that it used to have.
No,
like they don't. Marvel used to literally be like, oh, you have that goody two shoes DC Comics, and they're characters that everybody loves, and you know the people, and there's no conflict between humanity and them, and then you have everybody hates the Marvel characters in the Marvel universe, you know, stuff like that. Like it felt a little bit more realistic. Now, I feel like a lot of the Marvel books run into that kind of into a bit of a fantasy land, where it's like everybody's, you know, it doesn't feel like real anymore. It doesn't feel like the harshest part. Like it's like a superhero book, but it has that harsh part of reality that also exists.
I gotta say, Dark Horse is killing it lately.
What are they doing lately? I haven't been keeping up with them.
I want to say the Flintstones comic was
that's DC.
That's DC.
Is that DC? Okay. Yep. Nope. Then DC has been just. I've seen several things, and it's one of those things where it's like, dude, motherfucking Fred Flintstone is making more astute philosophical observations of life and the nature of humanity than the fucking X-Men comics. Like, really, really think about that. The entire premise of the X-Men comics is essentially controversial in nature. It's got tones of racism, of classism, of civil division, of all of these human ideas, and yet the motherfucking Flintstones are delving deeper into the ideology of what it is to be human than this comic that is pretty much built from the ground up to do. Like that, at that point, if you can't look at that statement and say there is something wrong, I don't know how I can have a discussion with you. And don't get me wrong, I'm not disparaging Flintstones. But that is the rebranding of all motherfucking rebrandings. Archie is the same thing. Like, Archie has some deep shit going on right now. They have events that are better than Marvel does. And that shouldn't fucking happen to anybody as old as me who remembers, like, wait, Archie? Like, Betty and Veronica Riverdale? Fucking Archie?
Have you seen that? Riverdale? Have you seen that?
No, he's talking about the comic series? Book.
No, I know. But then they even with the TV show, it's like it's a horror.
I didn't even know this.
Yeah, and that people are being hunted and there's murders and stuff going on at Riverdale. It's not a comedy or anything. That shit's serious. Look that up, Riverdale.
Everybody's expanding. Everybody's putting faith in their customers, except for Marvel. And I think that's the biggest thing. And pardon me if I'm getting off on a bit of a tangent here, but this is the fucking problem with big companies these days, is they don't fucking trust us as customers to be able to properly process the information giving out. It's the reason we saw the fucking hand-holding in video games. It's the reason we see the fucking virtue signaling in comic books. Writers and people who make these things do not give us, the audience, enough credit to be like, well, I mean, I don't think they're going to know that being mean to somebody just because they have a different skin color is a bad thing. I really want to make sure everybody understands this. And so they fucking kick you in the goddamn teeth with it. Like, and I can't help but feel that this is kind of the same thing. Like, they don't trust X-Men or Marvel or any of these things to have the stories to stand up on their own legs. They're only like, well, it's only an asset to the cinematic universe. So we're not going to go ahead and deal with our fucking customer base. We're not going to give them what they want because we really can't have a very tight leash on it. It just fucking infuriates me. Tell cutting edge stories. Tell things that put people on the edge of their seat. Tell stories that make people want to fucking talk around the water cooler. It's fine if you ruffle a few feathers. That is the nature of a good story. But instead of just falling back into the safety net of just fucking blandness because you're afraid to go out there. Meanwhile, all these fucking underdogs and all these fucking young companies, even fucking DC, your main competitor, it's not just underdogs, it's not just the little guys. The other big fucking Goliath in the room has noticed that people like good, dramatic, humanized storytelling, and they're aiming to push towards that. Meanwhile, Marvel just has its thumb up its fucking ass, being like, I make pretty movies! Yeah, you do, but we're gonna get real fucking sick of that when your source material runs out, and it's just Rocket and Groot go to the fucking carnival. Nobody wants to see that. That's like fucking Aladdin 7. Like, just quit. Nobody cares anymore. If you don't keep developing story, if you don't keep bringing the meat to the table, eventually, as Tony said, you just look around and be like, this is a table full of condiments here. Like, what am I, like fucking Charlie from It's Always Sunny? I cannot make a meal out of this.
Yeah, but as somebody who has read the Marvel, the latest Marvel stuff for almost 2 years now, I could definitely say, yeah, the teeth that company used to have is not there anymore. The stories just feel like they're playing it too safe.
No, they have teeth. That's the thing that drives me fucking crazy. The Thor comic book, the infamous fucking Thor fight scene in which the villain, and I forget who it was.
It's fucking absorbing, man. But that's not – do you consider that teeth, though? That's bullshit.
I do consider that teeth because that's basically Marvel saying, hey, we've heard you. We understand what you're saying. We have actually read the complaint letters enough to parrot back what we're saying to you. Oh, by the way, fuck you. Like, don't get me wrong. That does take some balls, but in the completely wrong way.
Yeah, like I agree with you on that one then.
They're not worried about pissing people off. They're just worried about pissing off the people who they think matter. So that was a big fuck you. That was a big kind of bold move. And they did it in the name of virtue signaling, thinking that, oh, well, all these people will have our back. It was this safe, edgy thing to do because a whole fucking crowd had appeared behind them and fucking cheering them on. They're like, yeah, do this thing. Everybody do the slow chant. Let's slow clap. Do the wave. And they fucking did it. Because they thought that they had somebody. Like, if you have a whole group of drunken people telling you to beat the shit out of somebody, it doesn't make it a good idea. It just makes you more prone to fucking doing it. You know, they have a little bit of teeth to them, but they're biting the wrong fucking people. Yeah, and by insane. A little bit, I mean it's like a fucking mean Sharpei. It's not anything dangerous. It's just annoying as shit. Puts you in a bad mood.
Yeah, I just find it funny how, you know, and this is off topic, obviously, but whatever, we don't have that many topics. I just find it funny that they're trying to cater these comics to a fan base that doesn't even read comics in the first place. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand that. Meanwhile, you read DC comics every week. I'm always excited to read the latest DC comics, right? Because I know I'm going to get some good kick-ass comic books. But Marvel's just like, whatever, I'll read it just to see what's happening. I mean, nothing excites me about it, you know?
The way you attract –
what happened, Brett?
I was just going to say, while we're on the note of DC, shameless plug, at Barnes & Noble, DC graphic novels are buy two, get the third free until the 12th. So if you want to catch up on anything, here's your chance.
Yeah, do it. Get some DC Rebirth, people. All right, Manny, go ahead.
The thing that a lot of people seems like at Marvel has forgotten is that good stories are what attract people, And, you know, I mean, it's great and all to have characters that, you know, that are not the norm and all that sort of stuff. That's great stuff. But if they're not good characters and they're just a bunch of traits, when you have a bunch of traits, it doesn't, that doesn't attract people. All yeah. that does is just gets maybe a couple of people who are saying that, you know, okay, you're not representing these people enough. Now we're going to read this sort of book. No, what you have to do is create good characters, and that's where it comes, the core comes from. Why is Spider-Man such a popular character? It's because he is a good character, because he can relate to everybody. He doesn't just relate to one sect of person. Anybody can read a Spider-Man book and relate to the problems that he has. Every single person has had money troubles, things they couldn't say to their parents, all kinds of other things. Same with the X-Men, where it's like, you know, during the Byrne era, that sort of stuff, or even like, you know, before that, where it's like, okay, you know, the different, trying to express the differences in that people see in each other. And
dude, the allegory to coming out as gay was so fucking obvious, but at the same time, artfully done. Like the idea of like, I have to have the talk with my parents at 13. They're not going to accept who I am. How do I let everybody know this is a whole different lifestyle? I didn't ask to be,
could literally attribute that to a bunch of different things being a teenager. Like whenever what was the exchange that said, they said it starts to appear at 16 years old. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Seriously. That's like,
that's puberty.
That's when younger people start to become a little bit sexually active, conversation with mom and dad about the birds and bees.
Yeah. But now, you know, instead of trying to do things, you know, in a very like slick way and or whatever, right now that it's just in your face, you know,
nobody ever wants to be told that, you know, that's the biggest problem with society in general. People have these problems with saying that everybody is wrong. You're wrong for doing this. You're wrong for doing that. The thing is that you never say to people that they're wrong. You have to talk to them or present your ideas to them and let them make their own decisions as to whether they are wrong or not. You know?
What happened to the days of us humanizing characters too? Like Demon in a Bottle was compelling because it showed the dark side. Like I feel like we've lost the very basic thematic element of the idea of an anti-hero. That's why everybody fucking clung to Deadpool so much. But the problem is with all this fucking virtue signaling, you come out marching out with a flag. Every character has to be fucking Superman. Everybody has to be this perfect, spotless, you know, morality that is wrestling with the immorality of the world around them. They're not humanizing the characters because you're now getting afraid of portraying somebody, a minority or something like that, in a bad light. Well, news fucking flash, we all have our demons to fight. We all have our hills and our hills to climb and our battles to fight.
And
like, why not show that? Are you really honestly so afraid that somebody's going to take it wrong?
And that is what the big difference between Marvel and DC was. Every single Marvel character was a fundamentally flawed character. Tony Stark was conceited and a drunk. Bruce Banner had all kinds of mental issues. Spider-Man has money troubles and sometimes his family life isn't so great. You know, every single one of these characters have these sorts of past vices that not only defined them for what they are currently, have transformed them into these heroes to fight these things that they've, you know, fight against these things that have happened to them in the past, but also build a new future for themselves. And I think that that's what a lot of, you know, current characters are missing.
Well, if I can break it down even further, I mean, I don't know how many of you know about the classic hero's journey, right? Like the archetype in which all story building has been built on like the past 2,000 years. It has to involve the character coming up against a shortcoming. Your character is brought in. They usually find some kind of conflict or some kind of power. They have a conflict with some sort of antagonist, and they find themselves falling short. This falling short eventually leads to power seeking, a mentor, a sort of rebirth, and a new altercation in which the protagonist emerges victorious. You can't cut out the entire section where the protagonist, the person that you're rooting for, is measured and weighed and found to be wanting. Like, you have to have them be an incomplete character in order for character development to happen. But people now are just so afraid of the character being the thing that needs to evolve. They instead want to say, change it to, oh, the narrative is the thing that's involved. The character is all already fully flushed. You just learn about this character as you move on. It's like, no, the character needs to develop. And therefore, the character needs to be flawed at some point. They have to have a demon they fight against. And Marvel has just gotten too fucking scared to humanize characters that way and have them have actual real faults that they need to overcome as people, because somewhere as a society we've gotten into our minds that the feeling of shame is fucking toxic. No, the feeling of shame is something that drives you to better yourself. It's the thing that when you take yourself outside of a vacuum and measure yourself and again you find yourself wanting, you push to become that better thing. But it's a very dangerous thing in today's political climate to say, I am not blank enough, I am not good enough, unless you're just throwing it on what, you know, a fucking, I guess, cis white guy at this point. Nobody's really going to want to read about the emotional and political struggles of a white guy coming to terms with his life. Like, so we have ourselves now in this weird catch 22 where, okay, the only people that you could really show as flawed are the same people that you don't really want to show as overcoming these flaws, because then people are going to bitch too. And so they've found themselves in this weird looped catch 22 of mediocrity where they can't break out and actually show a fucking character. Like, what happened when fucking the Green Arrow's ward got addicted to heroin? Like, where are these stories? Because I don't fucking see them anymore. All I see is like blatant girl power for the name of girl power, or blatant, you know, equality for the name of equality, where there's not actually anything but this grotesque caricature, all these different elements of society sewn together that they're fighting against. Like, yeah, you can build a patchwork ultimate evil. That's the reason the Nazis were the bad guys in fucking so many movies, you know, through the fucking 90s. Like, it's an easy, low-handed thing to lob a ball at, but it doesn't give you the most satisfying experience. And I do not understand why Marvel is afraid to make this jump, other than they're really pandering the virtue signaling crowd, and they're afraid to piss them off. But that's not who their fan base is. That's not the people who are buying their trade books.
Marvel's again, not Marvel anymore. It's Disney. So Disney,
yeah. I've heard that too. That is Disney pushing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not surprised. Again, look what happened as soon as Disney bought them. Like a year or two later, look at Marvel Comics right now, right? They don't look anything like they used to, right? And it's interesting because you take Marvel Comics from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even 90s, right? There's still something that ties them all together. They look familiar, right? Same characters. Look at them now. You're like, who the hell are these people? You know, it's crazy. Even if you're a hardcore Marvel fan, you look at it like, I don't know what the hell this shit is. And now I'm not gonna, you know, I was going to talk about this legacy shit. But I'm not gonna get into it now. But yeah, it's fucking bullshit, man. It's fucked up. But again, you want to read some good superhero comics? Read DC and read Valiant. You know, that's some good shit. You know, Marvel. I don't know what the fuck they're
doing. To be honest,
it's
don't.
So bland now, man.
For me, I don't actually read. I haven't read mainstream comics in over 10 years. Because after a certain point, maybe it was World War Hulk or something like that, I stopped really reading any sort of, you know, mainstream comics, because it just felt like we were just going through the same things over and over and over again. I feel like, you know, I feel like a lot of the companies that are not Marvel or DC, the other companies, are making things that are much more interesting. You know,
IDW. Shout out.
I mean, you know, you have Boom Studios that are making great things, IDW. You have Dark Horse is making really great
Valiant,
stuff.
Valiant, my favorite.
A Valiant. You also even have like guys like, you know, folks like the, what? Who else was there? There's a lot more out there. And I mean, even just going outside of our, you know, our borders, you know, like to Japan, there are amazing Japanese comics. Comics, they're fucking comics.
Manga,
whatever. The comics, like those, and the European books that are also amazing. We get there's this whole other verse of comics. Oh, yeah, excuse me. It also mentioned Image as well. There's this whole other verse of comics out there that are a lot more interesting, have way more compelling characters, and, you know, more complicated characters and storylines. And I feel like for a lot of people that think that, and especially in here in the States, that think that comics are just all supposed to be about superheroes. You know, you realize back before the Comics Code Authority started to step on everybody, there were many different comics. There were love comics, there were cowboy comics, there was full-on sci-fi horror comics. And the only reason why the superhero comic was able to survive is because they were the easiest one to kind of cut down.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's crazy. But anyway, move on here. That was a good conversation. Again, I let it kind of just go off in tangents because we don't have a lot to talk about.
But we like tangents. Real quick, I'm just curious. I'm sitting here looking at my book, at my comic shelf, and I might be the odd man out because I've always loved indies. Don't get me wrong. I love the big two. Always have, mm-hmm. but it's never been just those two for me. So as I'm sitting here looking through, I was like, man, I've got a lot of Arcana books. I've got a lot of Image books. I've got a lot of Boom books. IDW books, and I have some Marvel books in there, but I'd say at least half of my comic reading isn't even Marvel or DC.
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
I do need to inject this because I find it so funny that people are saying, "Oh, why don't comics have more people that look like me? Why don't we have more minority creators?" Blah, blah, blah. They exist, indie comics. The problem is you're only looking at Marvel and DC.
Exactly. Yeah,
look up Strange Fruit.
I've said this for years. I mean, me, you know, to be honest, like me and Kari, our first comic together was a comic that didn't have a specifically white protagonist. So now the thing is, it's like, okay, we had that then, and we're still doing the same shit. It's just you guys aren't looking, and that's a huge problem. Like, yeah, there are so many companies out there that, I mean, there's been ever heard of the comic Love and Rockets?
Yeah.
What was that comic about?
I don't remember. I just know the name. Yeah.
That comic was about, what was it? A lesbian couple, right? Hispanic lesbian couple, right?
Yeah. Why didn't that
comic has been out for years.
Yeah. No one's talking about it.
Since the 90s.
Dude, why does nobody bring up fucking Tank Girl when talking about strong women in comics?
You want to talk about Tank Girl? You know, a really fun character, a really fun book, one that, you know, one obviously that the, you know, she's a strong character, but it also didn't take itself obviously insanely serious. Well, until they did that other book that DC did, you know, was it called Into the Void or some shit? But that one was horrible.
Yeah, and then by the way, I need to bring this up because it's just funny. I just find it funny because a lot of these comic book journalists, I guess that's what they are now, they champion this one book from Image called Faith, right? Because the protagonist is like an overweight superhero. I'm like, that's pretty funny. Where were you guys 20 years ago when Faith was around too? You weren't saying that shit back then. Now, were you? You know, she's the same character. She hasn't changed. She was a crazy nerd back then. She's still a crazy nerd now. Loves Doctor Who. But you guys weren't praising that 20 years ago. Isn't that something?
It's because they weren't looking at the time. The thing is that here's the way it works. Everything has to kind of earn its way into the zeitgeist. Sometimes things don't ever make it to the zeitgeist, but they still continue to do well.
Yeah.
And that Faith is one of those situations where she's just been around so long that eventually the people that were saying this shit is good, and then continued, and then now it's, oh, okay, now everybody thinks it's great.
You know? Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, let's move on. It's completely switching gears here. A little bit of a more lighter topic here. So Sony is finally ending the production of the PS3 after almost 11 years. It's over.
I'm surprised.
Is it over, or is it just in Japan that it's
in Japan? But you know what that means. It's gonna be worldwide soon, you know?
Yeah, it's gonna be worldwide soon.
So I want to take this opportunity to talk about our favorite PlayStation 3 games. You know, always like to do this, you know, when a console goes down. Hey, man, it's fun, you know?
In memoriam. Should we have a slideshow set to soft tinkling music?
We should. So Brett, since you're talking, why don't you start us off? What are some of your favorite PlayStation 3 games, man?
I'm gonna have to actually take a second to think about this.
Really Infamous? You didn't just come to your head right away, man?
Well, it is. I mean, I guess I'm not limiting it to any single number of games. So, yeah, Infamous was definitely up there.
All right, if you need a minute.
There's so many.
We got Infamous. We got Uncharted 2. The Last
of Us. We got Red Dead. You got BioShock.
Metal Gear. You know what?
Dark Souls, the first one.
Yeah, Demon Souls, Chris. You know,
I'm thinking when you're saying like the best for the PS3, I'm thinking exclusive.
Let's stick with exclusives, you know, because for now, Manny, Metal Gear Solid 4, you know.
Metal Gear Solid 4, I mean, I've at least to this date, I still consider that the best localized Japanese game to date, because like it didn't have any one of those annoyingly awkward like conversations where you're like, what?
Yeah.
I love the new gameplay they decided to go with, which was a lot easier to get into. It was a well done game, and I know some people nowadays kind of rag on that game because it's so dependent on the ones before it. But I think it was, if that was the end of the series, it was a good way to go out. You know?
Yeah. Smaller stuff like 3D Dot Game Heroes, man, another 3D. from software game.
Wait, you guys know about that?
Hell yeah, I love that fucking game, dude.
I thought I was the only motherfucker in the world who knew this game.
Nah, man, I even reviewed that game back on Cool Stuff the Blog. I love that fucking game. Yeah, because I'm like, hey, that was my first quote unquote Zelda experience.
Dude, no, that game was pretty much, like, I'm playing, it's like, oh my god, this game is Zelda. And they're putting in developer jokes. Like, I love that it's not taking. Please, can we get a second one of these? Like, if I'm not the only one who played it, does that mean there's a chance for another one?
Yeah, man. Bring that shit. I love that fucking game, man. Ni No Kuni. Valkyria Chronicles, man.
Yeah. They're making another Ni No Kuni, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yes. And another Valkyria game, too.
Any word on multiplayer on that game? Because that's what really everybody wants.
Really? On Ni No Kuni? Why?
Dude, hey, come on. It'd be the Pokemon RPG game everybody wants.
It's seriously like Pokemon, just more... Pokemon.
Oh, I don't want that shit. Keep it single player, please. You know, Journey.
You can have the option to opt into multiplayer.
But why? Why waste your time with that? Why would you do that?
And this is where we often get back to the thing. Like, you're not really going to advocate them not putting in a multiplayer game that you can opt out of.
Who in your advocation? I swear, I'm just asking why.
Because people want it.
Really, I don't want it.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to play it. Give people the option.
Yeah, if you could battle those creatures to in multiplayer, some people would dig that.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I find it pointless, but I guess some people want that.
Let's see. So Journey. The Uncharted series.
Yes.
Especially Uncharted 2, man.
Especially Uncharted 2. Uncharted
2. 2 was the best.
Yeah. Oh my god, amazing.
I mean, we have to say Last of Us, right?
We did of course. We mentioned Last of Us.
Yeah.
I like the Ratchet and Clank game.
Crack in Time. Yeah, man. Crack in Time was good.
Was God of War 3 the PlayStation?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
God of War 3.
That's Brian's favorite PS3 game, I believe.
The last great God of War game.
Mm-hmm. God of War 3. That's a fact.
Shit.
This isn't one of mine, but I know people liked it a lot, especially Riku, Warhawk, a big multiplayer game. I'm still looking at this list I made up here. The Yakuza games, obviously, you know.
Yakuza games.
Oh, Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain Heavy is a Rain. Great one, yeah.
The other one that came out for too, the one after Beyond. That one, Beyond Two Souls. I enjoyed that one.
PS3 was a beast, man.
Once they hit their stride as far as exclusives, you know, there were some pretty decent things that came out for them.
Manny, you didn't mention your favorite.
My favorite game?
Good. You forgot about Sackboy, man?
I wouldn't say that's my favorite game, but yes, Little Big Planet.
I like Little Big Planet.
I like Little Big Planet too, but do you really want to play another Little Big Planet now?
No, not me.
Chris never wanted to play.
I know. I mean, in general, like, I feel like Little Big Planet kind of ran its course.
Yeah, I was playing 3 for a while, and I remember,
a lot of people liked it. A lot of people liked that
game. Oh yeah, the first one just definitely had that stuff. You know, had it. You know,
they still make content for it.
Yo, Chris, remember when we more or less forced you to play the game with us so we could get that trophy?
Yeah. No, that was cool. But when we were doing that stuff, you know, I liked that. Just like when we played Peace Walker.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Hooked that up. That's fun. Like, but by myself, I'm like, what is this shit?
What is this shit?
Yeah. Well, you were complaining at the time, too. Like, oh, fuck, what the fuck?
Dude, I don't know. All I know is when I play with Nathan Drake, I'm shooting guys. Then all of a sudden, I got to make a Rube Goldberg machine with puppets. I'm like,
yeah. Rube Goldberg machine. You know, man, I just give me the killing again.
Yeah, man. Give me the action.
Yeah,
that's the reason I didn't like Journey the first time I played, because I was in full Mass Effect 3 mode, right? So I'm like, what is this? You know, like, I'm just going through the sand. Then when I played it during the summer, I'm like, oh my God, this game is amazing.
I would say I would also put the Unfinished Swan with that too.
Was that an exclusive?
That was a PlayStation exclusive. Yeah, PlayStation exclusive. Yeah. Let's see what else.
Yo, man, Ragdoll Kung Fu, man, you can't get that song out of your head.
Ragdoll Kung Fu. Heavenly Sword.
Oh yes.
Oh, that was a launch title.
It wasn't a launch title. It came out a year afterwards.
It was pretty close to launch. Yeah,
excellent game, man. Excellent fucking game.
Motorstorm.
That's right.
The guy that made that studio.
Brian, did you like Apocalypse?
I loved it.
Okay, yeah.
I loved all three of them because they had unique enough settings so that it didn't feel like a 1.5 or like a 2.5 type thing. They all felt very different. So
yeah, one of them like Tropical 2 or something like that?
Yes, more from two Pacific something.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm thinking of Pacific Rim.
Here's the thing. I remember MotorStorm fucked me up because I'm looking at my, this is a crazy looking game. Beautiful game. My only problem with that game was I felt the rubber banding was way crazy in that fucking, especially that first one. I was like, I just left you guys in dust. How are you right next to me right now? that was a good game.
Brian, did you enjoy Gran Turismo?
That was at the time when I fell out of love with Gran Turismo. So I didn't touch it like that much. I had like one trophy. And
Brett, you want to talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure? This is a Riku game right here, I guess.
I didn't know. It missed me because I wasn't aware of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure until pretty recently when Toonami started airing it.
Yes.
And this game was before that. So I was just asking, like, does anybody know that PS3 had a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure fighting game?
This looks like the Capcom one. Remember, Manny, remember?
No, it's like a cel-shaded sort of game. Yeah, a friend of mine, I actually have that game. A friend of mine who works at Namco did the localization on that game. So he sent it to me.
But yeah, I remember the first time I heard about JoJo's, Manny was telling me about it because it was a Capcom fighting game back in the day, you know? JoJo!
Yeah, but this one's actually pretty extensive. It runs through a lot of the comics. So it's like it has like old JoJo stuff, new JoJo stuff. So it's all kind of mixed together.
Wait, Kal-El, I didn't know if JoJo's was on NES. I don't know about that. I got to look into that shit.
I think there was a Fist of the North Star game for that.
Yeah, there was.
Wait, Fist of the North Star isn't JoJo. Fist of the North Star
was on
Even though JoJo does look like Kenshiro. Well, no,
you want to know why? Because the guy who draws JoJo used to work was an under artist for Fist of the North Star.
Okay.
So that's why they look very similar, because he kind of trained him.
Yeah, because I'm like Jotaro looks like Kenshiro, man.
Well, have you ever heard of the comic and the anime called Bao?
Yeah.
The Bao is a character that was created by the guy who made JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and Bao is essentially JoJo's stand.
Wow, that's
interesting.
That explains a lot. I didn't even realize that, but now I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, if you look at Bao, if you look at Bao and the JoJo's stand, it's the same thing. It's the same, like, and he's never explained it. It's just like, he's just Bao.
That's true. Bao. Well, you just blew my mind, because now I'm like, oh shit, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, by the way, if Riku was here, he'd say the Killzone games. He really liked those.
I mean, I dug I think Killzone 3, but that's the one that everybody hated.
Yeah.
remember that one? That one I really liked, the way everything kind of felt weighty.
Yeah.
Like the guns felt weighty and everything, like when you jump and move, it just felt everything was heavy. And I think that was the big thing that bugged everybody, because it's just like, oh no, he's just,
yeah, that was the big complaint about the second one. Even though I liked it, I'm like, oh shit, the guns are heavy in this game. They're not like, oh, I almost forgot Resistance. Remember that series?
Yeah, it was that Resistance.
Yeah, I didn't. I personally didn't really like it, but because I felt the guns were too light in that, you know. But everybody liked the first Resistance, I guess, because it was a launch title, sold like a shit ton, you know.
Well, was it? Yeah, Resistance Fall of Man. That was.
That was a launch game.
Mm-hmm.
That was Insomniac. No one's talking about the Dragon game, right?
I was just about to say, like, remember that game, Lair?
Lair.
Oh man,
one of the worst games.
It's funny because the only reason why that game Lair ended up not, you know, people not liking is because they had the dumb motion controls on top of it. Because there was a version, as I remember,
they patched it. Yeah.
Well, there was a version of the game that they had before the motion controls.
Yeah.
And
Brian, I got another exclusive for you, man. Haze. Remember that shit?
Oh God.
The
game was shit.
We're also mentioning missteps too.
Yeah, hey, why not? You know, why not? We can talk about the bad too. You know,
like Spellbook.
Oh my God.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, the Spellbook where it was like,
oh Brian, you're breaking up, man.
Really?
No,
who was that? That was
better. I think somebody was just making weird noises. Yeah, guy was looking at Adam. So I'm like, Adam, what are you doing?
No,
I was testing out my new beatboxing skills.
Is that you?
No, yeah. I'm kidding.
But you know, man, Haze, remember that shit was trash.
It's funny. You can still see the Haze. You can still get that stupid. The Haze icon is still like embedded.
The fuck is that noise?
I don't know. What is it? It sounds like somebody's headphones is leaking over into something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard it right there. There it is from Brian.
Really? I won't say anything.
Wait, no, I saw your little bobbly thingy go off before you said anything. Weird.
Hello?
Wait, now he's coming from you. Is it just like a Google Hangouts thing now? Am I doing it?
That's all.
Like a small talk. It might be Manny. Hold on.
Hello? Hello? No,
he's fine.
No, it has to just be the feed.
Yeah, probably the feed being stupid.
All right. Yes, Lair.
Yeah. So, yes, rest in peace, PlayStation 3. You had a nice long run, but your time is over.
You know, I mean, you just have to say that it's amazing that you remember for a console that everybody was, you know, like it had a really shitty, rocky start. And to come to the point where it just kind of defined a lot of what gaming, you know, at least as exclusives and stuff like that were at the time. Man, you know, it kind of came up.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? I thought that was going to be the end of it. I was like, this is it. This shit is not going to last.
They had the hack and they had all that other stuff. And it's just all these different things in a way. But you have all the people, literally the whole industry, a lot of the industry saying, oh, this shit is dead. This is the worst thing ever, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, they proved everybody wrong and continue to exist.
The best part was that idiot Gabe Newell, he was talking all that shit, right? And then he comes out on PlayStation stage during E3. That was beautiful.
The thing is that he, to be honest, actually, rather than making those stupid split decisions like he did, he actually sat down and talked with them and said, okay, these people want to learn how to make these things better. So,
don't take what he says seriously. He's just jealous that PlayStation learned to count to three before he did.
Oh shit. You know, but yeah. And also the way the system evolved, like the PlayStation 3 when it launched was not the PlayStation 3 when it finished, like the whole infrastructure got completely changed.
That's usually the case for all these new systems. I mean,
with the PlayStation, all the different OS. Like when Xbox 360 came out, they had their shit locked down, you know?
Yeah, it was melting down.
Infrastructure wise, like with the XBLL.
They got that right from the get-go. But PS3
because they ripped all that off of all the modders, all the people Xbox.
They integrated ideas from Bungie. Like Bungie put in party chat. They were the first to have party chat in Halo. Mm-hmm. Microsoft took it and integrated in the system, which was brilliant. They took a good idea and put it in. But with PlayStation, they had a huge hurdle to overcome because not only when they came out of the gate with their absurd price point,
But mm-hmm. every magazine and everybody was bashing it as a technological blunder. Really, mm-hmm. they really said it was garbage, the console, right? So yep. that right out of the gate, and it still managed to do well and climb back.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you feel like even with like something like with this, if given enough time, like when you take say with like a Sega, like one of the Sega consoles, if they didn't just close down the doors on the friggin' Dreamcast, that they could have continued to make something better and continue to compete rather than just literally close the door almost as soon as the friggin' PlayStation 2 came out. Like, what was it, 3-4 months later, they were like, all right, we're done.
No, it was like a year and a half, you know.
It was like a year and a half, but I mean, like, do you think if they would have stuck it out and really tried to attract some key developers and different things on there, or try to keep the Soul Calibur series or anything like that?
Oh yeah, Sega didn't need to die. They could have pulled it out of the clutch. I just don't think. I think the problem was that everybody kind of got spooked. It was kind of, you know, the bank rush during the Depression kind of thing. Everybody got kind of spooked and they backed off and. They just ran out of fuel and got dumped. But
I also feel like because it wasn't doing well in Japan, they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, well. And so they're just like, fuck it, jump ship. Like, yeah, if they would have doubled down, I really think that, you know, Microsoft might not even be a company that makes games right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the original Xbox pretty much picked up on the momentum of the PlayStation's death. I mean, they literally picked up the
guy who essentially was the architect of the way the marketing for the Dreamcast was in the United States.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of their library.
But yeah, that is a big hypothetical question, to be honest. You know, but yeah, I think that's gonna pretty much do it for us. So a couple of things here before we wrap up. So, I almost forgot about. Actually, completely forgot about this. I'm gonna go see Tool this weekend, right? I thought the shit was on Saturday. Nope, it's Sunday, which means we're gonna do throw down your questions on Monday night. You know, so just be on the lookout for that. When is that fucking date? Monday the 5th. All right. So throw down your questions Monday the 5th. So keep
fifth.
So yeah, keep throwing us questions. And also, that's you, Manny. Doing all that.
That's me. Sorry.
And also, our big throwdown E3 predictions episode will be next Thursday. So be on the lookout for that. Should be pretty fun, you know. I was going to tell you.
I will be in LA on the 8th. So
you're going there early, man.
I'm going there early to see what look around and say hello to some friends and stuff. So I'll be there. I'll be testing out my webcam and everything.
Yeah, watch your camera, man. You know, but yeah, our big E3 pre-show is gonna be fun, man. And again, because I know everybody in the world is doing their fucking pre-E3 shows already. It's like, you guys are way too fucking early. Chill out, man. You know, like the way these guys are just today on Twitter, the way these guys react, I'm like, is E3 tomorrow? What the fuck? You know, like, calm it down, guys. You know, so we'll have some good shit for you guys always. You know how that goes. So yeah, that's it. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Brett Murdoch.
Good real people.
Adam Vale.
Remember, Lucha Underground, episode 20. If it's back, watch it. Please.
And Brian Manjoma.
I guess it's too hard to say. Third time the charm for DC Universe films.
Yeah, go see Wonder Woman. I can't believe I'm actually saying that. They got it right. Hey, this is a case example of when you put when you take the character from the comics and put him in the movie, it works. When you try to change him, it backfires. Batman versus Superman. Go see the movie.
you knew this was going to happen. I mean, Wonder Woman's too much of an icon to, like, either. Well, I guess.
They fucked up Batman and Superman, Brett.
Like, no, I know. The wording gets important here. Because you can't say fucked up Wonder Woman because that sounds wrong. Actually, the best I had said to me was somebody earlier today told me I just wish DC would stop fucking sticking their dick in the character and fucking it all up. And I actually said before, I thought about it, like, well, I don't think they're sticking their dick in Wonder Woman. And he's like, yeah, I wouldn't fucking try. She'll snap that shit off.
That is true. Don't fuck Wonder Woman. All right, man. We'll see y'all next time. Remember, Monday, throw any questions. Later.
Later.
Later, guys.